RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Dusty. How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain. Welcome to RPG Lessons Learned, the show where we recap our old sessions so that you can learn from our mistakes. And I said old sessions. I shouldn't have. This just happened at Mace. So if you listen to RPGLL and you think, my God, Dusty talks a lot, you're right. But for this episode, hopefully you'll be wrong because I didn't play in this game. No. I'm going to be asking Mike and Brian about a game they played in.
In fact, you actually waited for us at this game until past midnight
to finish playing.
Yeah. Oh, that's
game.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Because my game had finished up. So tell me about this game that you guys played in. It was, are we even going to say the name of the game?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, I don't have any negative things to say about it, except for one. The description of the game said it was a Savage Worlds game that was about gummy bears.
Yep.
And I thought, oh my God, it's a gummy bears game.
So awesome.
And we got to the game, and gummy bears was a euphemism for a drug.
Yeah.
And it was the gummy bear police is the way that the description read, and that's not at all what it was.
Yeah, it's literally called Raleigh Police Glow Squad Case of the Gummy Bears.
I thought it was going to be awesome. And it was. It was a lot of fun.
So I think right off the bat, I think the takeaway there is be careful how you name your game in a con system, right? So if you give your name kind of an offbeat, quirky kind of feel, make sure you're offering up an offbeat, quirky game and not a hard-boiled cop drama.
A hard-boiled cop drama with mutant powers that takes place in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yes.
That sounds pretty quirky to me.
But, I'd say that was fair. There were a couple of things that I have some negative feedback on, but I'm going to try not to.
It's constructive.
To dwell on that too much. But
So let's try to divide up the conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, right out of the gate, lesson learned. If you're going to GM a game at con, you have very limited space. Presumably the con is using Ogre, the online game registration tool, to run the con. And you have very limited space in Ogre to market your game. You have a title and a description and then some like ratings and sliders, but the only open text you have is the title and the description. So you're saying right out of the gate, if the title had been different, it would have aligned your expectations better.
Yes.
Set your expectations better.
Or I probably wouldn't have wanted to play this game.
Yeah. If I had known what Glow Squad was, maybe that would have been a little more. Maybe that was my fault for not being familiar with Savage Worlds and the extension in Savage Worlds that was implemented.
And the thing is, I'm glad I played it.
Yeah.
So that's not negative, but yeah. If I had realized what I was signing up for, I probably wouldn't have played it, but I'm glad that I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So be careful about expectations when you GM a game at con. All right. Let me ask you guys, I'm going to ask about just three different things. The system, the game, and the GM.
Okay.
So, and let's talk about each one of those. So first of all, the system. This was your first experience with Savage Worlds.
Absolutely.
Yes.
How is Savage Worlds?
Go first.
I really like it, with one exception. Savage Worlds is based around like a playing card motif, a poker motif. And the way the mechanic works, I really like, and I have a lot of fun, but I hate the motif. Like, everything is based around playing cards. That could easily just be done with, like, a random, with a dice, with a D20.
So as we drove home, where I had run a game that we'll talk about next week, and you had played in this game, as we drove home, you said, and I quote, "Love the system. I wish they'd drop all the poker trappings."
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense why you do it other than just differentiate it from a D20 system. It's honestly the only thing it feels like. What I really like is...
So what are the poker trappings?
So, one, you do your initiative based on a playing card. So it's, you...
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. So before we get into much of that, let me give my brief feedback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I liked it and I enjoyed it. I still don't understand. I have no clue really how anything really worked in that system. They explained things to me and I just kind of nodded and was like, okay.
So was it the fact when you hit or when you, I don't even remember the terminology.
It was like a hit and a bang and an up.
So like critting in this, like if you're using a, like a D&D term, like if you crit, what happens is you, if you score a certain level, you roll again, you get another roll.
Yep.
And if you roll with
the dice explode.
Yeah, the dice explode. When you go, and you could explode in on a D6 or D. Actually, the scale changes based on what you're doing. So if my character is skilled in telekinesis, I may roll a D8 or a D10 or a D12 or a D20. So if you roll like in the top quartile or whatever, you explode and you can get to roll again. So you can get a really high number based on rolling. And again, that's kind of like playing one of those fancy digital slot machines, really, because they often work the same way. So it's just more gambling motifs.
Yep. And then once you figure that out, then there's something with bennies, where bennies are a stack of poker chips, but then we were playing a different modified benny system where the GM was just kind of like, I'll spend these bennies for you to keep the story moving.
Yeah, that was all weird.
Really? Okay, here's what I'm... So for everyone at home who's freaking out because we don't understand Savage Worlds...
Sorry.
The takeaway isn't that you need to email us and explain Savage Worlds, because I'm our next game is going to be in Savage Worlds, and I've been listening to tutorials. So, Brian, the dice only explode when they roll the max. If you roll a 6 on a D6, they explode. If you roll an 8 on a D8, they explode.
We may have played it. It was a 7 or an 8, like on a D8.
And that was him. Yeah. That's not the game.
And we always
And the Benny's thing, that's him.
We always,
that's not the game.
We also rolled the core dice for the skill and also a D6.
Yeah, the D6
either could explode.
That's your wild card dice.
Okay. I think either could explode for some reason.
But then you get the highest number from whichever one rolled the highest number.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Including the explosions, yep.
Yes.
So I've been watching a lot of tutorials, and it sounds like, here's what happened. Sounds like this guy kind of house ruled it, and he house ruled the bennies, and he house ruled the dice rolls to explode more often, and basically he house ruled it to the point where, because you'd never played it,
I didn't understand it.
You got lost.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty accurate.
The bennies were the thing I didn't get.
It'd be like trying. I'm going to use a terrible example. It'd be like trying to learn starship maintenance on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah,
like ordinarily, here's what you do, but I customized the hell out of this, so here's what we're going to do.
And that was actually great, because one of the guys at the table with us was very entrenched in the system, and I think he actually knew the guy offhand, and they had played in a bunch of games together.
You mean the guy to my left, or
the guy to your left?
No, he didn't know them. He didn't know? He did not.
Oh.
The DM and GM and the guy beside of him, they knew each other.
They knew each other?
But the guy beside of me did not.
Okay, wow. So... anyway, he would kind of take us aside and explain to us in terms of what was happening and the skills and the system. And I was very appreciative that he did it.
Yeah, I really liked him.
But I still didn't understand it.
So another player was trying to help you understand the customized
he
Millennium Falcon.
He was very passionate about the system.
Yeah, he was a really good guy, too.
And let's be, to their credit, because I like to keep it positive, to their credit, you guys were intrigued enough that when I sent you 3 possible games for our next campaign...
I'm still interested in playing Savage Worlds. Yes.
I don't want to use poker cards. I want to use, because I think that's silly.
Or chips.
Or chips. I mean,
I will try to figure out a way to Millennium Falcon our game.
Yeah.
Into not being Savage World anymore. But.
But I enjoyed it. I like the exploding of the dice. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was an interesting mechanic.
I like that. But I mean, when it boils down to it, though, it's basically a D20 system.
Yeah.
With all sorts of dice in it.
Well, it's a dice pool system.
It's a dice pool system, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. So, system, let me see. Easy to learn.
No.
Maybe.
Maybe, but not in this environment.
Not at a con.
Well, maybe at a con, but not at a con where the GM has customized it.
That's a good point.
Because him saying, I mean, based on the tutorials that I've watched, I'm no expert yet, but him just saying, I'm going to spend bennies for you,
I think the other thing of it, too, was we were playing an extension to Savage Worlds. So not only did we need to figure out base Savage Worlds, but now we also have this super mutant
superhero.
Well, it's designed so that hacks fit on top of it.
Yeah.
Savage Worlds is designed to do that.
To be hacked, yeah.
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 Is it designed to take place in Raleigh? Because that was weird.
It's a generic system, so yes.
All the Raleigh landmarks and everything.
Arbitrary Raleigh landmarks. It's like, dude, I'm not from Raleigh. This isn't benefiting me.
Anything else about the system, about Savage Worlds? So you got enough of a taste that you want to try more of it.
Yep.
but you didn't pick it up at this particular table.
Yeah, most of my other thoughts are around the GMing of the game.
Okay,
yeah.
let's talk about the game itself.
Okay.
And not the GM yet, but just the game.
The game, yep.
It's a con game. Did you have any props or handouts?
There was a little sticker badge from the Raleigh PD where So this GM was friends with the Raleigh Police Department.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool. And he came in with like a stack of the little stickers that they hand out to kids on patrol as like
that's a goodwill.
Yeah, he handed those out. And then each of us had a manila folder that had a character sheet and then a player questionnaire.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm going to pull my character sheet out right now.
I regret I didn't bring mine. I forgot that. But there's a character sheet that we filled out and then, or no, a character sheet that was pre-filled out and then a player questionnaire that helped us establish our characters before game.
And relationships with other characters. So, for example, like I actively disliked one of the other characters at the table.
Yep.
And I had to tell him why.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny.
I thought that was actually very beneficial as well. So kind of in counter to our Call of Cthulhu game where we were dictated these relationships, the relationship was dictated, but you actively communicated with the person you had the relationship with to define that.
And it came up, it didn't come up though in the game. Like I begrudgingly because I didn't like the guy, but he made sense. I begrudgingly went along with him.
Yeah.
I tried to squeeze that into my RPing, but you know, it wasn't much.
It was a good idea, but execution could have been better.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So props, handouts. Was the story good? Like, was it satisfying? Did it have a beginning, middle, and an end?
It did, but we kind of rushed through the end.
Yeah, we had to rush through the end.
So basically, there was a drug that...
Don't do spoilers, right? But just...
I don't expect that anybody is going to play it. This is like a house game. Like, the odds of somebody actually playing this game is so low.
I hear you.
And we don't have to spoil it. It was a generic cop drama. Basically, there was a new drug. We were cops. It was our goal to find the suppliers of the drug and eliminate the drug from the streets.
So the guy that was beside of me that we liked, he basically played a wise cracking detective that was basically out of, you know, I mean, he's a stereotypically wisecracking detective, but he brought so much energy to it that I stopped rolling my eyes and I just got into it.
Yeah.
But it was just preposterous that you had this hard-boiled yet crazy guy who just happens to have superpowers on the Raleigh police force.
It was kind of like if you took an episode of Law & Order SVU, stirred in a little Miami Vice, and then stirred in a little X-Men.
And a lot of cocaine,
and it kind of worked.
That sounds great. That sounds fun.
Yeah, no, it was fun. There was a lot of good about the game.
So
that's a great way of putting it. I just wrap my head around that. Yeah, you're right.
How was combat? Did you have any combat?
At the end, technically, no.
I didn't even really get to fight anyone because I'm a telekinesis guy, and apparently I can't use my powers of telekinesis. So that's actually a third piece of negative feedback that I had.
I think the combat that I got to do was effectively me trying to negate the powers of the enemy that I encountered, and I was able to, just through physics, because we actually had to employ things like momentum and stuff like that in the combat, the way it worked out. And basically, we ended up figuring out how to get him down and how to keep him down by like increasing the mass.
Yeah.
Oh, the other guy had increased his mass because he was
a grower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, time out. I'm getting mixed signals from you guys. I'm getting signals that things were really fun and it kind of worked and you wanted to do more. Let's do this. Rate the game for me 1 through 10 and think of your number first. And when you're ready, are you ready?
So this game, like the game itself,
this session,
system and all, overall,
give me a numeric score 1 to 10,
7,
Brian,
6.
Okay. Wow, I would have figured you would have been higher than me.
No, because we sat there for an hour.
So that's what I was waiting to hold back on.
Okay, just go for it.
Okay, so we were having a great time.
We were.
For like the first 2 hours of the game. And then for some reason, and my main feedback is that this is a horrible thing to do at con. It's a great scenario for doing at home, and we've done it a million times. But the GM intentionally split the party. So the two players, the two players that weren't us were very physical. One was a blaster. One was a giant hulky guy who could literally grow to infinite sizes and proportions, literally a hard on tank. So they were two very physical guys. We were two very mental guys. I was a telekinesis guy and Brian was like a super robotics engineer hacker guy.
Yeah.
So two physical guys, two mental guys. There was literally a split in the storyline where the two physical guys went to go investigate some gas stations and some shops and then an apartment building. And the two mental guys went to go question some geneticist DNA lawyer, I don't even know, college professor guy.
He was a professor at NC State.
At NC State.
In a specific building.
Yep. So
here's what I just heard.
Yeah.
I just heard that in the X-Men.
Yep.
Wolverine and Colossus went one way.
Yes.
While Beast
and Kitty Pride
went the other way. And I know which group I'd rather be in.
Yes. So Beast and Kitty Pride got two pages where Colossus and Wolverine got the whole rest of the issue. So it was literally they got to do their thing for like an hour while we just sat there because there was nothing for us to do. It killed the entire momentum of the game for me. Enough that by the time it was time for me to be back and re-engaged in the game, I didn't want to be.
Literally an hour, or are you exaggerating?
No, literally an hour.
That's 25, as a GM at con.
Yep.
That is 25% of your player's experience with you.
Yep. That's.
And even if there's a legitimate reason to split the party, which, hey, there might be.
Maybe.
Why not just check back in on them?
That was kind of the thing. There was literally nothing to check us back about. We exhausted our storyline in literally 15 minutes.
So he was so married to, no, but these guys are already here and you're like an hour away.
Yep.
He was so married to that kind of logistics.
It would have been so easy to pull us back in because we're superheroes and it's Raleigh. Raleigh's not a huge town.
I had a jetpack.
You had a jetpack. I could have like ridden on your back. I could have called an Uber. In real life, and been from one side of Raleigh to the other in like 20 minutes.
Raleigh is a lot of sprawl.
But it's not that.
It has great. There's great infrastructure there.
You can get on the interstate and be from one side of Raleigh to the other in 10 minutes.
The bypass. Anyway,
traffic doesn't suck. Sorry.
So it does. So Raleigh's geography aside, 25% of your experience was sitting on your thumbs.
Yep. That's what was so frustrating.
And you were having a great time up until that.
Right until
then. Oh, how heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then it was like, to your point.
Did he bring you back in?
Because he had to?
No, I don't think it's because he had to. He tried to bring us back in, but to Mike's point, it was really hard to get back in after that.
He brought us in at the last encounter.
Because he recognized, oh no.
The story worked out that way.
No, the story worked that way.
Okay.
His lines drew back together because it was the final encounter.
Like, think of like, I think you mentioned it, SVU or something, Law and Order. So two characters go, they have a shootout while the other two characters, like other characters from the show are like printing reports. We were printing reports, and that's literally what we were doing.
Yep. And what we did didn't even really matter because the other two guys found the information we needed to continue the story arc.
Yeah. All right. So give me some more. I need some more 1 through 10 ratings based purely on the first 2 hours. Now give me a 1 through 10 rating.
8.
8. And before 7. It was a 7. So it moved both of you up 1 point.
I'm going to say 7.
It moved both of you up 1 point. So he lost a point. On a 10-point scale, he lost 10% of you by sidelining you for 25% of the game.
I know. Yeah, I was overwhelmingly positive, but I was overwhelmingly positive about the system because I thought the system was phenomenal. I thought the story was okay, and I thought the people at the table were good.
Were good. Yeah. No, we had a really good table group. It was a really fun group. Considering that we were down a person, it was fantastic that we could carry this game between the four of us.
So Mike, you had a game where the first half of it was an 8.
Yep.
The overall game was still a 7.
I was maybe being.
You learned a new system. Generous.
I was being generous. I didn't want to be mean. The second half of that game literally would be a 3.
A 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
It killed it.
I mean, it's better.
So 7 and a 3.
Better than our Call of Cthulhu game.
Much better than our Call of Cthulhu game.
But you learned something. Like, you took away some Savage Worlds knowledge.
Yes.
Yep.
So tell me, this GM, when he got it right, what could I learn from this GM during the first 2 hours when you rated it an 8, What could I take away from him?
He was, so I'll say this, not that you're not this.
Sure.
But he was very, in my mind, very descriptive. Like, I could picture everything he said.
Yeah.
Where oftentimes, like in a game, I have a good idea. Like in this, I had a very concrete idea of where everything was, what he was talking about. That, but that may just be because it's not a low or a high fantasy setting. It's because it's like modern day.
Well, and that's good feedback. You're right. I don't do a lot of imagery for a couple of reasons, and I've got to rethink this. This is not me justifying it. This is me saying why, and I've got to rethink it. I don't do a lot of imagery because I can't if this combat's going to end today. If this combat's going to end today, I better be doing some math.
It's not even that.
Sure, but also I rely on my pre-printed maps and tiles to supply a lot.
Did
of
he
imagery.
Even have? He didn't. It was all theater.
No,
of the
it was
mind.
All theater of the mind.
Okay, yeah. Compare his theater of the mind to my theater of the mind. Compare his theater of the mind to when we ran that prison escape game. Were my descriptions still not as rich?
No, it's not that it's not as rich. It's that I am biased because I know what the inside of a mall looks like.
Yeah.
I know what a ditch looks like.
No, but I want to learn from this guy. So what did he do that was so great?
He said it in 2017 in Raleigh, North Carolina.
In a town that I've been to. Okay.
So to your Twitter, to your Twitter post, we're going to have everything in Washington, D.C. from now on. Sorry.
Yes.
You like that, huh?
That was good. Yeah. Yep. I look forward to our games in Ashington.
Ashington, Terling, and Baltimore.
Yeah.
I don't think... Anyway, you wouldn't pick up on it.
No, not at all.
So, and we've been there. Mike and I spent a lot of time in Terling and Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've actually spent quite a bit of time in D.C. now, too. So
fair
yeah.
enough.
I have not. I've been to D.C. once. I've been to Baltimore once. And there are a lot of homeless people. I'm sorry.
There are a lot of homeless people.
So, description's good. I can learn from this guy by maybe using more modern parlance and better descriptions. What else could I learn from this guy during the first 2 hours that were great?
He was very enthusiastic. Go ahead.
He was very enthusiastic, but the other thing that I think he was using the Benny system to help him move the story along. So I don't know if you could actually learn from him or if you're just doing a different way of what he was also doing.
Everything doesn't have to be statistical.
Right.
I mean, it was basically like roll, like every decision or whatever he would roll instead of just it was up to his discretion to do whatever.
So wait, am I learning from that far as what to do or is that a what not to do?
Well,
that's
what not to do.
What not to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you feel like he relied on the dice too much.
Everything was statistical.
Yep. And he was literally using that pile of bennies to progress the story. So if he felt like we failed to achieve the thing we needed to achieve to move the system on, he would take a Benny out of the pile and then just do like a gimme.
Instead of letting just whatever happen.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly.
It sounds like it took away a lot of player choice.
Yeah.
There's a lack of agency.
But you said
it went great for the first 2 hours. Was he doing that for the first 2 hours?
It was mostly transparent.
Yeah.
Because again, it was like, so you need to do this. He would roll. And then he would say, okay, here, like it was almost completely transparent.
Yeah.
Because he would roll, he'd throw a Benny from one pile to another, and then he'd tell you what your new target number was.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Well. Yeah. I mean, it was a good game. We had fun. There were some issues. I think a lot of it does come kind of from how he was running the game. Again, I don't want to be too hard on him. I think what he
was
did,
great.
I think what he did would have been great for a home game, but for a con.
He was a great
Mike,
guy.
How about you, Mike? Anything I could learn from him during the first 2 hours when he nailed it?
Is it okay to say no?
Yeah, sure.
I think I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So imagery, and I'll think about the imagery because I do rely on props. And Brian, I hear you on the 2017 parlance. I'll think about that.
Can we do our next game in North Wilkesboro?
I would love that.
You guys would know it so much better than I do.
It could be in your old apartment.
My character would eat so many taters.
Holly taters.
Yes.
Hey, you know, if I ever DM a game, it'll be set in North Wilkesboro.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'll start it this weekend.
You should DM a game as Brian Happy Day. I think you should.
That'd be awesome.
So for those of you who don't know, Brian has another podcast called Happy Day. Is it just Happy Day or Happy Day in Wilkes?
Happy Daily.
Happy Daily.
Oh, it's daily.
It's a daily podcast by Brian.
It's a daily podcast.
And it's you playing an exaggerated version of yourself from your hometown.
Assume that I never ventured forth and left Wilkes County and realized that there was more to Wilkes County than Holly Taters.
I love the show.
I enjoy doing it.
I encourage folks at home to listen. All right.
Hey, BrianKilby.com/Xmas2017 to get your free Christmas album.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
Good call.
Yes.
And by now, Christmas is over.
And it's Brian Kilby as Brian Kilby.
Yeah. It's Happy Day, Brian Kilby.
It's Happy Day, Brian Kilby. All right. Anything else to say about this game?
Nope.
No.
All right. Me either. I wasn't there.
Don't split the party.
Don't split the party. Well, split the party, but my God, check back in on them.
Yeah, especially at a con. Don't leave players sitting on their thumbs for an hour.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. That's a huge takeaway that seems obvious. But, you know, I empathize for him, and I empathize because if you're trying to play this really pure version of a story and keep things really pure and be like, no, that's not realistic, then I could see where he'd fall into that trap. But you got to remember, it's a con game, and you got to do some hand-waving so that everyone has a good time.
Absolutely.
You're trying to show everyone a good time.
Yep.
I mean, if your goal were to perfectly simulate the inner workings of a police investigation, you probably wouldn't be playing Savage Worlds in the first place. So with superhero mutants. So once you make that caveat to throw realism out the window, you might as well keep making caveats to make the game fun for everyone.
Yep.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you for listening. We have one more Mace session to talk about. So next week I'll talk about the game that I ran, where I ran Medieval Avengers again at Mace. And I'm going to be honest, it did not go well. It was kind of a train wreck. So if you thought I was really tooting my own horn in the Terror on the Kataro episode, contrast it with this episode where I really screwed up. And I'll talk pretty openly about that next episode. But hey, I learned a lot of lessons. I learned a lot from it. And I'm going to be down. You know, we've made fun of other GMs. I'm going to be really hard on myself next time. So look forward to that. Thank you for listening.
People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned. And we're sharing ours with you.